उसे श्रृंगार किया, सांसों में समाए हो बाबा, भूल सकते नहीं तुम्हें भूल से, जो प्यार मेरा मुझे तुमसे।
So today we have Dr. Sachin, our spiritual brother. So maybe some of you know him from Global Hospital. But today he's here as a soul that is being very deeply reflecting on Baba's knowledge. In fact, he has a daily work on Gyan. It's conducted there in Pandav Bhavan. If anyone is interested, you can talk with him later. But he was telling me that he took birth with Avyakt Bapdada in Diamond Hall. So, and for 7 years he's been dedicated in the Global Hospital there. So let's hear a bit about spiritual engineering. This is our closure of the season, basically. This class and Kenbai's class in the evening will be the last ones. So we came from a journey from Om Shanti to, from Om to Om Shanti. Now you go from Om Shanti to Om back. So it's the cycle that repeats. So it's very important, this topic, because it will be how to work your own spirituality. So let's pay good attention and let's take those points in our thoughts, mind and intellect. Okay. Thank you, brother.
Om Shanti. We'll begin this session with a short meditation. So all of you, please sit alert. This morning, in Sakar Murli, Baba said, Baba gives you time. You simply have to remember Baba for 8 hours. Also at one place, Baba said, your original religion is peace. And you have come from the land of peace. So let's experience that land of peace. This will be a guided meditation commentary, and we are going to experience 8 different stages in Supreme Abode. So let's start. Shining in the middle of the forehead. luminous point. Sitting on the immortal throne, a spark of luminosity, let me feel myself. Who am I? The consciousness of the body is going away. I am feeling myself closely. Eternal point of light. Sparkling. And today, let me go back. Same place whence I had come. I drop this mortal coil here. Experiencing the silence of this world. A deep silence. Absolute soundlessness. Till now, I only knew the silence of that temporal world. But today, let me test this divine silence. The silence of Paramdham. the silence of Nirvana. Second experience. I, the soul, am in this land of peace. Shanti Dham. Till now, I tested the peace of that world. But now, I relish the supreme peace of this world of peace, the entire peace of this world is merging in me. What a divine experience. Third experience now. I, the soul, am in this land of liberation, experience of complete freedom. The divine liberty. Till now, I had some experience of freedom in the gross world, but now I experience complete freedom. Complete bodiless stage. Fourth experience. Till now, I knew only the five elements of nature. Today, here I am surrounded by the sixth element. I heard of it a lot, but now I am feeling it. This world of Brahma, this Brahmand, this red expanse of light. The deep experience of the sixth world. Now the fifth experience. I, the soul, have practiced soul consciousness whilst in the body. Today, I am in this whole world. And I experience all my divine attributes here. I am supremely pure soul. Absolutely blissful. Most powerful. Such ecstasy of love. I am experiencing my own nature. Now the sixth experience. I am in front of Supreme Soul. And all His divine rays are penetrating me. The rain of divine melody. The shower of Supreme, the shower of divine vibrations. I am getting drowned in this shower of bliss. Now the seventh experience. I am getting merged in the Supreme Soul. Baba and I are becoming one. The divine union. I am what He is. And the last experience. From our combined form, divine rays are spreading all around, reaching out to the earth and showering on each and every soul the ultimate Sakash. I and my Father are one. Such a rapturous union. The divine experience of combined form. Now, I, the soul, come down. This world and getting situated in the middle of the forehead, supremely charged, supremely pure, blissful. Om Shanti. So, we are here for a very interesting session, spiritual re-engineering. I will begin with a very short story. There was once a very old church. That church was almost in ruins, almost on the verge of collapse, absolutely dilapidated. It appeared as if it would fall any time. And because of this, the worshippers, people had stopped coming to that church. The trustees of those church, they consulted lot many architects. And those architects told, this church is beyond repair. You have to construct a new church. It's no use because it can fall any time. Absolute in the state of it was in tatters. So all the trustees of that church took a meeting. Even the meeting took place outside of the church because that church would fall any time. And certain things were discussed in that meeting, or rather certain resolutions were passed in that meeting. So all those people sat, all the trustees of that church, and they passed in all four resolutions. The first resolution was, a new church should be constructed. And everybody agreed to that. The second resolution was, we must destroy the old church. Even that resolution was passed unanimously. The third resolution was, the new church should be constructed in the same place where the old church stands now. And from the same material of which the old church is made up of. Even this resolution was unanimously passed. The first was, a new church should be constructed. Second was, old should be destroyed. Though all of them were very reluctant, because they did not want to destroy it. But after seeing its present state, somehow they made this resolution and which was passed. The third was, a new church should be constructed, but in the same place where the old church at present stands, and from the same material. The fourth resolution was passed, and it was, unless and until a new church is constructed, we will not destroy the old church. And even this resolution was unanimously passed, because they were so much attached to that old church that they wanted new one, but they did not want to destroy the old one. And that's why, as I said in that story, they say even that fourth resolution was passed, though it looks like a paradox. Unless and until the new is constructed, the old we will not destroy. Why I'm telling you all this? Humans have a tendency for a deep attachment to all that is old. There is an inborn tendency within a human soul that though it aspires for new things, but still it doesn't want to let go of the old. That may be old sanskar, that may be old thought, that may be old emotion, that may be old relationship, that may be old habit, that could be anything. But somehow that clinging persists. When we talk of engineering, this is a very new word, at least for me. It means so many things. First of all, letting go of the past. Second, it also means newness. It also means creativity. It also means forgetting the past. It also means transforming everything into something which is very creative, something which is absolutely newfangled. So this transformation, this giving rise to creativity, this remodifying, this replanning, this redesigning, this restructuring, all that is old, all that is already there, all the processes, whether to redesign a plan, whether to redesign certain process, certain system, everything we will call as re-engineering. And in this class, we are going to discuss this topic in 21 different parts. We are going to do re-engineering at 21 different levels. This is a spiritual journey every one of us has started. And we are leading definitely a very spiritual life. But somehow, as I said, whilst living any particular pattern of life, if you continue the same pattern for a long time, a dullness comes. That newness, that creativity, that freshness, somewhere is lost. That's why this process is very, very necessary. I can tell you, suppose there is a tree and there is a seed. So we are going to see what is that seed and what are the different 21 branches of that tree. Or if suppose there is one engine and on that engine, suppose it is a train, there are 21 different bogies. But there is one engine which is moving all those 21 bogies. So this process of redefining, restructuring, revamping, repairing is something which is known as re-engineering. As we will progress, this class would be sort of a journey. And whatever 21 points we are going to discuss, each one of us, at least I do that every day, and I would like every one of us should do that, rechecking all these different points. It's not that I'm going to discuss something absolutely new. You all have heard of all of those points. But we are going to understand the same subject in a very different perspective. Even before I start the subject, I would yet like to tell you one more story. There was a very experienced mechanic, and he worked in one company for 30 years, and later on he retired. After his retirement, once there was a problem in the one machine which that company had. It was a very huge machine, and every mechanic was called and nobody could repair. Nobody could even understand where is the problem with that machine. So ultimately the manager of that company called this old man. And though he was not very much willing to take this challenge, yet he was requested and he came. So when he came, this old man, he saw that machine. He kept on seeing that machine from morning till evening. He didn't do anything. He was just seeing that machine the whole day. And evening, he took one chalk and he made one cross. And he said, "Replace this part. That's it." Immediately that part was replaced and machine started working perfectly. After some days, this mechanic sent a bill of $50,000 to the company. The manager of the company, he wanted an itemized accounting of that amount. How can you charge $50,000 for just making a mark? Actually, he didn't do anything. He just made a mark. So this mechanic sent back the bill. He said, first, for making that cross with a chalk, $1. And for the process, or you can say, where to make that cross, he charged that $49,999. Where to make that cross, that is the most important thing. If we think this our entire life is like that machine, and which we were leading from so many years, there was one problem somewhere, but we didn't know where was that problem. Baba came and just, he is a supreme engineer, he just made one cross and he said, replace this. So many people came on this planet Earth. Jesus came, Buddha came, Muhammad came, so many prophets came, so many great men came. They all tried to repair this machine, but nobody could do that. When Baba came, he just made this cross and he said, this is the problem, body consciousness. Replace this part with soul consciousness. So, let's begin this journey. As I said, we are going to discuss in all 21 different points where we have to bring newness, where we have to bring creativity, where we have to bring transformation. Our journey, as I said earlier, this spiritual engineering would be like a tree, and soul consciousness is the seed of this tree. If that soul consciousness comes, everything would come. If the experience of that soul consciousness increases, all the creativity would come on its own. And creativity doesn't mean, re-engineering doesn't mean that somebody should become a painter or singer or an artist. It has nothing to do with doing something. Rather, it is a state of being. If suppose somebody paints very nicely, we say this is an art. There is a lot of creativity in that. But then, not everyone is going to become a painter. Not everyone is going to become a singer. Not everyone is going to become a dancer. That's maybe only few can do that. But that doesn't mean that everybody cannot become creative. Creativity can come everywhere in each and every sphere of life. Our walking can be a creativity, our eating can be a creativity, our seeing, our being, our moving around, everything we can turn into something new, something novel, something which we never had before. That experience of something new is re-engineering. So, let's begin the journey. The first part, or the first dimension of spiritual engineering starts with thought, sankalp. First branch of this tree of spiritual re-engineering is thought. What newness we are going to bring at the level of thought, that we need to understand. Because the same thought, all of us, we get up in the morning, we do Amrit Vela, we talk with Baba, we experience bodiless stage, then we listen Murli, we read Murli. This is going on for a long time and we get lot many new thoughts from Murli. But still, we need something fresh, some different nutrition at the level of thought. And how that will come. You all know that thought is the seed of everything, whatever we do. As is our thought, so we become. So if we have to understand this process of recreation of thoughts, we need to understand this thought in great detail or in some depth. Our mind operates in two planes, conscious and subconscious. What is visible on the surface is the conscious mind, and what's below the iceberg, below the iceberg which is hidden, that is the subconscious mind. And so many memories and so many thoughts are hidden in that subconscious mind. One thing is, whenever we say, I have to do something, whether it is giving class, listening class, doing yoga, listening Murli, anything, that creates an amount of little stress somewhere. Actually, if you go to the depth of the definition of meditation, it's an art of not doing anything. We are so much accustomed to doing, it's the state of non-doing actually. It's a state of being rather than doing. So, these thoughts, they're always going on and on and on and on. Thoughts are coming, thoughts are going. Thoughts are coming, thoughts are going. Some thoughts are very deep, and they are going somewhere deep into the subconscious mind, making their place there. What we do in meditation is we create positive thoughts, we create thoughts of higher consciousness. But there is yet one more thing which Baba has mentioned in some of the Murlis, and that is watching our own thoughts as detached observer. As if my mind is a tree and thoughts are birds. They are coming, sitting, but I am not doing anything. I am just a detached observer, a spectator. Let them come and let them go. Let them come and let them go. I am not touching them anywhere. So now, again, we'll sit back just for a minute and do this experiment. All of you, again, sit alert. For 1 minute, imagine you are a tree and thoughts are birds. They are coming. You are watching them and not doing anything. Let them be anything, positive, negative, anything. Just watching them as a detached observer. Okay? I see my thoughts. But I am not those thoughts. I am absolutely detached. I am not trying to control them. I just see them. These birds hopping around, flitting from one branch to another. The state of Sakshi, trying to label them. I'm just watching. I am pure consciousness. Om Shanti. The recreation doesn't come by too much thinking. Somebody has said, thinking is the enemy of creativity. It looks paradox. But the greatest of the discoveries, the greatest of the inventions are done in that stage of thoughtlessness. We progress gradually towards that stage where we become so much soul conscious that the number of thoughts which are coming, they become less and less and less and less. We are not even thinking of anything. In Baba's word, Baba says plain intellect. We come to that stage and then what we need to do, what we have to speak and what we have to do, everything comes to us. Disciples of Jesus Christ come to him and they ask him what we should do, what we should speak. We don't know how to speak. Please tell us, O Lord. And Jesus tells them, go and stand there. It shall be given unto you at that hour what you have to speak, what you have to do. Just empty your intellect, empty your mind of this rush, this hustle and bustle of thoughts. So every day, for some time, we do yoga. Of course, what I told you just now is not yoga. But this is a practice of detached observership. And this is very much necessary in order to calm the mind. And if you do this practice in the company of nature, you will find your stage suddenly has gone up. In the company of nature. You can do this in a closed room also, but as soon as you go in the company of nature, in that beautific nature, in that moving breeze amongst around those mountains, streams or waterfall or ocean or river, somewhere near these places, suddenly you will find that your mind has become calm. You are not trying to do anything, you are just trying to see it. And you will find suddenly a wave of silence. You will find suddenly a wave of soundlessness. And in that moment lies the eternity. In that moment, you will understand something of Gyan which you never understood before. Today's Murli Baba talked about Gyan and Vigyan. To be soul, to consider oneself as sown is Gyan, but you have to go even beyond Gyan, and that is to remember him. In between these, the stage is there. To see oneself as detached observer, without doing anything. Just doing, just being rather than doing. It's actually, if you see the entire history of mankind, the entire history of search of man for God is a process of doing. The man has been searching him around. But here, Baba said, it's you already have it. You don't have to search now. It's here. These thoughts, just calm them down and you realize something new. And that is the real spiritual re-engineering at the level of thought. Second level. Second level is the level of speech. Second re-engineering we have to do at the level of speech. I shall speak to thee in silence, somebody says. The greatest speech is the speech of silence. If you remember last season's Murli, the first Murli, there were total 7 Murlis. The first Murli was on peace of mind, power of mind, silence of mind and dance of mind. The second Murli was on Baba made a trip to capital. The third Murli was on Baba took us to the first Avyakta meeting, 21st January 1969. The fourth Murli was on Baba said you all have to come in the line of Yogeshwar, yogi. You all have to become yogi. The fifth Murli of last season was on you have to create palace of happiness and stay in unlimited. The sixth Murli was on garlands. Different garlands Baba gave. And last Murli, 20th March 2017, was on angels. You have to become an angel. So these were 7 different Murlis of last season. here we are talking about speech. What newness we can bring at the level of speech. We know that how to speak. Speak nicely, speak sweetly, speak being situated in self-respect, give respect to other. Baba says all of these things in Murlis. But as the greatest speech is actually the most simplest one. The greatest speech would be the speech of silence. There is no other speech on this earth which is greater than silence. If we can stay in that stage of silence for a long time, whatever that we would speak would carry power. Because that speech, if suppose that speech is at the orbit, the silence is at the center. And the speech is arising from that silence. In my own life, there were many events where I went into silence. About 3 or 4 times this happened. And that silence was uninterrupted silence for sometimes few months. Sometimes few months where I was so silent. And I had the experience, though I was not in Gyan even during those times, but I could feel the power of spirituality within me in those spirits of silence. And every day, at least, those who are very much busy in working, they should spend at least 6 hours in deep silence. Starting from till at least 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Those who are working, those who have to interact too much with the world, and those who don't have to, they should increase this period of silence. There was a Zen master, he was asked by his disciple, how much hour should I meditate? The Zen master said, 1 hour. The disciple asked, if suppose I am very busy on some particular day, then? He said, 2 hours. If you are very busy. Do meditation for 2 hours if you are busy. So, speech should come out of that silence. One, speech, as Baba said in the recent Murli, burn this tail of I consciousness. You become Mahavir. You are Hanuman. You have to burn this tail of I consciousness and burn it with intense volcanic yoga. So when a soul stays in that period of volcanic yoga in the morning for a long time, and then again in the evening, whatever there is in the middle of your daily routine, that automatically becomes powerful. You cannot waste that. The speech automatically becomes powerful. There's a very beautiful story by Leo Tolstoy, Russian author. He said about 3 saints in Russia. They started becoming very famous, and all the 3 of them were very simple, uneducated, uncivilized. They used to live in one island. And the priest of that church got very angry and furious. How these people are getting more famous. All people have started coming to them, going to them. Nobody is coming to church. What is so much with these people? And he wanted to teach them something. So he took a boat and went to that island. The moment he reached there, all the 3 of those people, they touched his feet and he felt little safe that these people are not arrogant. And he asked them, how you are becoming so famous? They said, no, we don't know about it. We tell people not to come here, but they still keep on coming here. So he asked them, do you know the prayer? All 3 of them said, we do not know any prayer. We just know one simple prayer. We say, we are 3 and he is 3. Father, Son and Holy Ghost. That is the only prayer we say. We are 3, you are 3, have mercy on us. So the priest gets very angry. He says, this is a stupid prayer. This is not an official prayer. I will teach you what is prayer. And he teaches them some prayers from Bible. few good poem prayers. And the three of them, they listen very attentively. After he finishes prayer, they say, "We again forgot. Just repeat that." He again repeats. Again they said, "We again forgot. Please repeat once more." So he repeats once more. And then he feels very satisfied that he has taught them a good poem, prayer. And he leaves from that place. He takes his boat and starts going. After some time, he sees that all three of them are walking on the sea and coming to him. They are walking on the sea and coming to him. So he feels as if three angels are walking and rushing towards him. And they come and stand near that boat and tell that priest, "Oh please, Lord, we forgot the prayer again. Please teach us once more." So that priest says, I need not to teach you anything. You just continue with what you are doing. I need to touch your feet. Because what I taught you, that was official prayer. What you are doing, what you are praying, that is the most correct prayer. Because the words were most simple. We are three, you are three, have mercy on us. Most simplest. So, the re-engineering at the level of speech consists of simplicity, soul consciousness and silence. The deeper our silence, the more powerful would be our speech. Third, the third level of spiritual re-engineering is the level of actions. Once the thought is powerful, automatically actions are going to become powerful. But Baba has said, five types of actions are most elevated actions. You all have heard about them. The first, all the actions done in the state of soul consciousness are powerful actions. Second, all actions carried out in the stage of remembrance of Baba are powerful actions. Third, all actions which are done in the spirit of selflessness are powerful action. Fourth, all actions where you have felt yourself to be just an instrument in the hand of the divine, that action would be most powerful. And all actions, fifth, where you are Nirman, Baba says, humility, humble. These five types of actions are most powerful actions, and these are the actions as per Srimat, where you feel as if you are not doing anything. As if he is doing everything through you, he is speaking through you, he is doing that particular seva through you. So there is no question of I consciousness, I have done this, I have done this, I have done this. I am not doing anything. It's he who is moving me, it's his power, it is his bliss, grace that is moving me. So that spirit, that experience of being just an instrument. You know, in India there was a very great singer. His name was Muhammad Rafi. He was a very great singer, the greatest of all time. Somebody was very praising him once too much. So he said one thing, very beautiful thing. He said, if God wanted, he could have given this voice to somebody else also. But I am thankful to him because he has given this voice to me. He didn't say that, he didn't even accept that praise. That sort of humility, that sort of being an instrument. I am just the instrument of God. If Baba wants, he might make somebody else the instrument the other day, the next day. And I have no complaints to him for anything. My part, whatever he has given me, I am very much happy and very much satisfied about it. So deep sense of satisfaction arises from this. So, actions as per Srimat. Yeah, one more point. As per Srimat. You can include that humility and instrument into one point and you can make 5 points. And re-engineering at the level of action means actions should be as per Srimat. Actions done in the spirit of soul consciousness. Actions done in the spirit of God consciousness. Actions when you are instrument and actions when you are selfless. All these five types of actions are, if somewhere something is missing, we need to bring that missing thing back into picture. Fourth level of spiritual re-engineering is the level of relationships and connections. Relationships and connections. In today's Sakar Murli, Baba talked about spiritual connections. You all are brothers. You are not related to each other by any other relationship except this one relationship. So what is spiritual connection, or what is this spiritual re-engineering at the level of relationships and actions? Only one important thing I will tell, and that is detachment in relationship. We should be sweet, we should be humble, we should be have harmony of sanskars. All those things are included, but one which is a missing dimension is detachment in relationship. Khalil Gibran had written a very beautiful book, The Prophet. In that prophet book, the protagonist, the main actor, Mustafa, he was asked, tell us something about love. So he says, love between two people, lovers, that should be like four pillars of a temple. They should not come very close to each other. Because if the pillars of the temple come close to each other, the temple would fall. So there should be the spirit of loving detachment between two persons. Familiarity breeds contempt. If two persons become too much close to each other, then gradually they start seeing each other's fault also. So that is why always keep this detachment between two persons. Because again, there is a tendency of human beings to go on one side. Either we get too much detached or we start hating that person. If suppose we do not like particular person's actions, that soul's behavior, we start getting too much detached from that person. So let's check these four dimensions: thought, speech, action, relationship. All the conflicts. In today's blessing, Baba has said clouds of conflict in sanskars. Baba has used this word, clouds of conflicts in sanskars. They all arise because somebody tries to encroach that boundary. Let everybody have their own space. Do not encroach into their privacy. Let them breathe. Let us also breathe, and let them also breathe. Whether that relation is between husband and wife, that relation is between brother and sister, at any level, any relationship between two souls, they should be emotionally detached. They should be emotionally independent on each other. They should not be dependent. If at all, in our relationships, we have got somewhere caught, probably the reason is too much deep attachment. Go away from some time. Let's breathe. Rabindranath Tagore, that's a very famous name in India. He has written somewhere in his book, the last poem, Shoshir Kobita in Bengali. Two people are there. A woman loves a husband, a person, and that man also loves that woman. She is from a well-to-do family and he is little poor. They both want to marry each other. But the woman puts one condition. She says, I will marry you only on one condition. After marriage, we will not stay together. He says, what? What sort of nonsense? We will marry and we will not stay together. She says, I will construct a palace for you on another side. There would be a lake in between. We will meet each day, but without any invitation. You will be boating, I will be boating. If we meet accidentally, it's okay. You are coming from that side, I am coming from this side, this will be our marriage. He says, what sort of marriage is this? If we are not staying together, what sort of marriage is this? She says, this is the only marriage. If you do not want to marry, you may marry somebody, but I will remember you throughout my life. And you are I will keep you only in my heart. So, she says, he asks, but why? So she says very beautiful things. She says, I don't want our relationship to become a commonplace thing. I want that this relationship should remain fresh. And for that freshness, this distance is necessary. You are on that side, I am on this side. And in between, lake. So here also, whether we are staying in center, whether we come to Madhuvan, anywhere, there should be lake in between. That person on that side, we on this side. That lake is Baba. Keep him there. And that is actually the real love. Otherwise, spiritual love has a tendency to deteriorate into sensual love. If you see the history of all the monks and nuns of the world, how they deteriorated just because of this one thing. So, distance. So this is the spiritual re-engineering at the level of relationships. Fifth, spiritual re-engineering at the level of behavior. Chalan, Baba says. If you go to the recent last Sunday's Murli, 15th January 1983, which was narrated on 8th of October 2017, recently, last Sunday, Baba said, compared Om Shanti Bhavan with Chal. Chal is behavior. Hall is inaugurated. Baba compared that hall with behavior. That hall is unlimited, so your behavior should be unlimited. That hall is broad, your behavior should be broad. That hall has capacity of 3000. Your behavior should be Trimurti. You should be Karma Yogi like Brahma. You should be Vishnu in giving sustenance by love and power. And you should be Tapasvi like Shankar. You have inaugurated that hall. Now when are you going to inaugurate new behavior? Baba has asked this question in that Murli. You have inaugurated that hall. When are you going to inaugurate new behavior? And most important thing in that Murli, where we have to do spiritual engineering, is whenever there is a spoiled task, one, whenever there is a spoiled mood, and whenever there is a spoiled sanskar, you give cooperation by your good wishes. This cooperation Baba wants. You are children of bestower of the supreme bestower. So your behavior should be to cooperate. At present, Baba doesn't want gross cooperation, like gross servers. Somebody is needed in kitchen or somebody is needed here or there. If one is called, 10 come. What cooperation Baba is expecting from us is giving cooperation to other to correct, to help them in their spoiled behavior, spoiled sanskar, spoiled mood. If one of your colleagues is having some hard sanskar, deep-rooted sanskar, which is not going, if you can help that person, that brother, that sister, to get rid of that sanskar of hatred, or that sanskar of dislike, of that sanskar of sensuality, whatever it may be, this is actually the real cooperation. And for that thing, you yourself should be free from it. So your stage should be very high, then only you can give cooperation. And the real cooperation is to correct that person by giving your good wishes. Help him for this. This will be the real spiritual engineering at the level of behavior. And this is what Baba wants. This is 5. You can make a formula 5, plus 2, plus 2, plus 4, plus 4, plus 4. We have less time, so we'll go ahead. Now I have finished this 5, now plus 2. In Hindi we say tan, man, dhan. Man we already covered, mind, that is thought. Now 2 are there. Tan and dhan. Tan is body. Spiritual engineering at the level of body. What spiritual engineering we will do at the level of body? How we are carrying this body? How healthy we are keeping it, how vibrant we feel, how much that tirelessness we feel, that is re-engineering at the level of body. And at this level, the most important thing is food. What we are eating. let's go more towards nature. Let's go more towards natural food. If you divide food into three categories, rajasic, sattvic and tamasic, all that food that stimulates you, all that food that leads to excitation, all that food which is too much sweet and too much sour, that is all rajasic. Yogi's diet, a brahmachari's diet should be, Mahatma Gandhi has written somewhere in his book as well as in the journal Young India in 1910, 6th August. A brahmachari's food should consist of fruits, vegetables, as much spiceless as possible, and if possible, uncooked. The moment we become Brahmin, the greatest attraction that pulls you is food. We call it Brahma Bhojan, but somewhere we are drowned in that, in the taste. And remember Baba's version, Master Almighty Authority is a soul who is controller of taste. The one who has not controlled his taste, that is known as Rasendriya, how he can control Janendriya? You cannot control your sensual organs without controlling the taste. The one who is the master of his taste, one who has risen above all this taste thing, you will achieve a new dimension. That soul consciousness will come to you all of a sudden, which you never had. You are trying hard, you are getting up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, doing very good Amrit Vela, churning Murli, doing everything, and in spite of all that, that soul consciousness thing is evading you. The reason is food. The more we go towards nature, the more healthy we become. The more we go in the lap of nature, the more you will feel your body has undergone a spiritual change within. So that is the spiritual engineering at the level of body, means to go more towards natural diet. Next, spiritual engineering at the level of wealth. Wealth includes all the wealth, whether gross or subtle. Subtle wealth we know a lot, knowledge. But there is a growing tendency in Brahmins to rush towards the gross wealth for the purpose of service or whatever. And somewhere, if you see, if you study history, Saint Francis of Assisi, in his monastery he had two rules. One is celibacy and second was poverty. And that institution, that deteriorated later on because lot of wealth came into that. Because most of the monks and the followers who came later on, they became greedy. And they start amassing wealth from public. And gradually that deteriorated. But the greatest of the tapasya which dadis did, that time all these facilities and nothing was there, but still they did the greatest of tapasya. So somewhere, whatever wealth we have, whether at center, at home or anywhere, we should have the attitude, this is not mine. Today's Murli, remember. Baba said, this is not mine. I, the soul, I have nothing to remember. If you want to come in the beats of rosary, you have to achieve that karmatit stage. You should have the feeling that nothing is mine. Not whatsoever. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Such intense vairag for all this wealth of the world, that this is not going to satisfy me. And I am not here. I am not here to do this thing. This wild goose chase for money, for wealth, for luxuries, for facilities. Asking oneself, had I come here for this? The goal of my life is tapasya. Intense tapasya, volcanic tapasya. And that tapasya is possible only with that higher stage of purity, with that higher stage of control, with that higher stage of non-greed. A religious mind is a non-ambitious mind. Remember that. A religious mind is non-ambitious mind. What happened to that Macbeth who fell down because of his ambitions, all these worldly ambitions. We are not here for that. We have to prepare our return journey. So, stop this wild goose chase, this cutthroat competition in this world of wealth. So the re-engineering at the level of wealth means nothing is mine. Everything is Baba, and everything is Baba's, and everything is for Baba. Whatever that is coming, let it go for Baba. I am nowhere. I am a trustee. That attitude of trusteeship is spiritual re-engineering. So 5 plus 2. Now 2 more. Intellect and sanskar. Buddhi and sanskar. Re-engineering at the level of intellect. Baba said, you have to have a very, very pure intellect. Then only this knowledge would stay there. Its line is milk. Golden vessel is needed. So we need to do re-engineering at the level of intellect. And the best re-engineering is feeling of egolessness even about the intellect. I know more. Everything can cause ego to person. I am in this knowledge and I know something more. Actually, the very principle of life is, spiritual life is, now I begin. What I know, I have just information rather than knowledge, I will say. There was a German philosopher, Arthur Schopenhauer. He was a pessimist thinking school advocate. There is an incident in his life. One day, early morning at 3 o'clock, he went to one garden and there he was muttering with himself. He was talking with himself. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, the gardener of that garden, he came with a lantern and with a stick, and he was seeing who is this madman who is talking with himself. So that gardener asks Schopenhauer, who are you? From where you have come? What are you doing? What do you want? 4 questions. So Schopenhauer, he just stops and he says, this is what I am searching. Who I am, from where I have come, where I have to go, and what I have to do. This I have been searching my whole life, and yet I have not got today, till now. We know who we are. We are soul. Information. We know we are from where we have come from, supreme abode. But that's still an information. Can you still call it as a knowledge? Knowledge is to become the embodiment. Have I become the embodiment? Have I got that deep realization of all the 4 questions? Perhaps no. So the re-engineering at the level of intellect is inquisitive intellect, a childlike intellect, that desire, that eagerness to know things, to understand things, to realize them, to know them in depth. And for that, you need that humility. So, intellect. Now 4 more. 5 plus 2 plus 2, now 4. 4 are drishti, vritti, drishtikon, and habits. Drishti means vision. Re-engineering at the level of drishti. Seeing specialities, we know. Not to look into their faults. Not to spread it in the atmosphere, Baba said. Have soul conscious vision. All those things we know. Spiritual engineering at the level of drishti is, our drishti should become so pure that it should start giving the vibrations of purity to the souls who come in front of us. And for that, you need to go beyond this body conscious vision. The skin, we have a habit to look at the skin. And I tell you, with my own experience, without control of palate, without control of food habits, this vision is never going to become pure. Because for births after births. In today's Murli also, it was there, one statement. Births after births, you are body conscious. So if you want that this vision to become pure, first, practice of soul conscious vision. Second, what food we are giving to this body. Also, the food we are taking through eyes and through ears. What are we seeing? What posters? What film? What videos? What clips? Anything for that matter. That body consciousness can enter through these eyes. And if you want these eyes to become pure, you need to stop all the sensual world. Otherwise, that spark would get ignited, and that will drive that person into that hell of sensuality. What I am seeing, what I am reading, what books, what news, what I am hearing, what music, even if that contains a trace of sensuality, the trace, that sensuality within me would get ignited. So purity of eyes is the spiritual engineering at the level of eyes. Next, I said, drishti, vritti. Vritti is a very difficult word to translate into English. But modification of chitta, of mind, is known as vritti. There are five types of vritti. I am not going to go into those details. But vritti in simple English is attitude. Very roughly, if you want to translate, what sort of attitude we have, what sort of vritti we have. Vritti actually means ripples. Suppose a stone is thrown, a pebble is thrown, some ripples are created in that lake or pond or ocean. So those ripples are actually modifications of chitta. They are known as vrittis. So whatever thoughts are generated, the same thoughts will turn into vritti. So spiritual engineering at the level of vritti means to make our attitude elevated, to make our attitude of gratitude. To bring a sense of gratitude everywhere in life. It's a very beautiful idea to keep a gratitude journal. To keep a gratitude journal, a small journal, and at night just write down, I am thankful to Shiv Baba, I am thankful to this divine family, I am thankful to this person who helped me. No matter, he might have helped me in a very smaller way, but still that sense of attitude, that gratitude, attitude of gratitude would give a deep solace in the heart. Be thankful to everything, whatever that is there. Thankful to this Gyan Sarovar. Thankful to all the Brahmins. Thankful to all the Madhuban Nivasis. Thankful to Baba. Thankful to Dadis. Thankful to all the our senior sisters. Thankful to center. Thankful to the nature. Thankful to everything. Fill the mind with so much gratitude so that there should not remain a trace of complaint anywhere in the heart. Baba said, always keep your attainment in front of you. Your treasures, your attainments. Next Sunday's Murli. Tomorrow's. While talking with, again tomorrow also Baba has, last Sunday also and tomorrow Sunday, tomorrow also Baba has talked about attainments. Keep them in front of you all the time. I have got all of these things. Why should I complain about anything? So, spiritual re-engineering at the level of vritti. First drishti, then vritti. Third is drishtikon. Drishtikon is viewpoint. How do you look at things? Suppose you must have visited Naki. If you see that Naki whilst walking, you see one view. If suppose you climb one mountain, maybe that Baba's mountain or Toad Rock, from every point you will see that Naki in a different, you will get a different vista, different view. So viewpoint is, to bring spiritual re-engineering at the level of viewpoint is to have a different viewpoint. What that other person thinks, let me also understand that viewpoint. This is not the only way this thing should be done. There are probably other ways also to look at the same thing. What you think is right is not maybe always right. There was a German philosopher who came to India to meet a yogi. And he took out his shoes and he opened the door with lot of noise. Or rather he just, with noise he threw his shoes and he entered inside. The yogi said, I am not going to meet you unless and until you ask for pardon to your shoes and to the door. Now he had no options because he had come from all the way from Germany just to meet this yogi. And he said, you have to ask for pardon to that shoes and to that door. He had no option, so he went and he said, oh my shoes, please forgive me. Because I threw you. And he said, oh door, please forgive me. And he has written in his autobiography that I felt for the first time in my life a sudden feeling of satisfaction, deep satisfaction, which I never knew before. Absolutely new viewpoint. Even this can be there. These non-living things. So this, a different attitude, because every person, all of you who are sitting here, if suppose each one of you has to come here and give the talk on the same topic, probably you will talk in a very different manner. Each person is a unique person. There is no need of any comparison here. Each person is unique. So we need to understand their viewpoint also. So the spiritual engineering at the level of viewpoint is to understand others' viewpoint also. And most importantly, to understand Baba's viewpoint. You know, in Gyan Sarovar once, there was a religious conference here and one judge had come and he had said a very beautiful thing. He said, if you want to understand Vedas, scriptures, you have to get situated in the same state of the mind in which they were written. Suppose those rishis, those saints of the yesteryear, they wrote those scriptures in this stage and you are reading them, your stage is here. You cannot understand them. In the similar manner, Baba is sitting here, the speaker is here, and you are here. You are trying to understand his Murli. How can you understand? You can understand words, you can understand those statements. Probably you may give a class on that Murli. You can hear a class, you can write on that class, you can do some practice. But have you really understood that Murli? The hidden connotations, bhavartha, shabdartha, vakyartha, gudarth, different things are there. Have you understood each and everything? You cannot understand unless and until, if his stage is here, you need to elevate your stage to this level. He is avyakt. You have to become avyakt to understand the avyakt. You cannot stay down and try to understand the speaker. Baba has said in one of the murlis, this is the Mahavakya of Baba. Baba said, you say that you love me. You say that you love me. Baba has said this in one of the murlis. But it is said that one who loves another, he stays there with that person. I am avyakt, why you are vyakt? I am beyond voice, sound, why you are in sound? I am in that world, why you are in this world? So if you want to understand him, you have to elevate yourself. So this is the spiritual engineering at the level of viewpoint. Fourth, drishti, vritti, drishtikon, and fourth is habits. Habits. And the spiritual engineering at the level of habit, only two things I will tell you here. One habit which each one of you should have. One you should have, one you should not have. And the one which you should not have is to go off to sleep after Amrit Vela. This is the most dangerous habit. Because this is the time for churning knowledge. This is the time to be in touch with nature. You have to set your lifestyle in such a way that immediately after Amrit Vela, you don't fall off to sleep. Though you get a very good sleep that time, that's another thing. But this is the time for churning knowledge. And second thing, in habits, here in Panda Bhavan we have a small group. In that we have all sat together and they have devised 52 methods of churning Murli. One or two I will tell because time is less. There are different and we are working on this. Every week, all the souls are given homework and they churn the Murli with that particular method. One of the methods here is example method. Like one person, he will churn the Murli, whatever examples Baba gave. Like as if a plane which is going up and it is crossing on the mountains and sea. In this manner, what are all the examples Baba has given? Example method. Second is, this contrast method. What are the different contrast Baba has given? 10 contrasts from one Sakar Murli. In bhakti, in gyan. What is in bhakti, what is in gyan? So that is known as contrast method. Sometimes it is like self-checking method. What are the 10 points of self-checking Baba has given? So there are about 52 methods. Now we have even made 55. Few more are added. So these are the different methods of churning Murli. Every day you have to do this. So this is the spiritual engineering at the level of habit. So these four, drishti, vritti, drishtikon and habit. Now next four. Listening, eating, touching and writing. These are the senses. Spiritual engineering at the level of listening. What we are listening. And most importantly here, Baba said, listen. In this Sunday's Murli, Baba had said, the recent Murli, which recorded Murli, which was played in the evening of 8th, Baba said, you are Dayalu Kripalu. You are compassionate, kind and merciful. Hear the call of time. Hear the call of devotees. Hear the sound of mind. These are the three things Baba said in this recent Murli, which was played. Recorded Murli of 2006. That is 30th November 2006 Murli. So Baba said this, try to listen call of devotees. Try to listen the call of your, this, what nature is saying, what time is saying, what God is saying, what your own conscience is saying. Listen those subtle calls. And for that, again, you need to have a very subtle stage of mind. Then only you can listen all this. Listen also what nature is saying to you. That's why I said this early morning time from 4:45 till 6 o'clock. This is the time you need to go in the company of nature. Listen the chirping of the birds. Listen the waterfall. Listen the stream, the river, the mountains, that silence, that immaculate purity, that time, the vibrations in the atmosphere, the beautiful sceneries and the oceans. Just listen to all of them. That is the spiritual engineering at the level of listening. Second, eating. What I am eating? If it is generating excitement, if it is generating sloth, laziness, probably that is a tamasic food. If it is generating fatigue, probably that's not the food I am made for. The more your subtle stage, the more subtle would be your food. Gradually, you will develop a propensity to go towards natural. So, spiritual engineering at the level of eating. Those who want, they can discuss this topic later on with me. Next, engineering at the level of hearing, eating, touching. What is my touch? Is it a some traces of sensuality in that touch? Let me make my touch as pure as possible. Let me make my touch as healing as possible. There should be a healing touch in our touch. There should be a person should feel that somebody who is my own, that sense of belongingness in that touch. That will be the real spiritual engineering at the level of touch. And then spiritual engineering at the level of writing. What messages I am sending, what SMS, what email, are they really as per Srimad, or just sending happy Thursday Sadguruvar for no reasons, just they are sending it and sending on and on and on and on. There is no end to that. Where my energy is going just in sending, writing, whatever I write, that should be encouraging for that soul. It should not make that soul stage fall. Next, tomorrow's Murli, Baba has talked with those who are from media. Tomorrow, next tomorrow's Murli, Kalamdhari. Those who are writing with pen, Baba said, I am giving them Kamal, lotus, to those media persons. And Baba said, with that, spread the vibration of purity in the whole world. So, at the level of writing, my writing should be creative, my writing should encouraging others, my writing should not have traces of sensuality, my writing should not be waste, my writing should not be negative, my writing should not carry something which is against Srimat. So spiritual engineering at the level of writing. Next, so these are the four levels and four more, last four, and then I'll finish this talk. Spiritual engineering at the level of feelings and emotions. Spiritual engineering at the level of memories or awareness. Spiritual engineering at the level of imagination, and spiritual engineering at the level of dreams. So they become 21. So these are the total 21. Just in short, spiritual engineering at the level of feelings, emotions. As I said, emotional detachment. One should not get so much spiritually, emotionally attached to some person. That person may be a good effort maker, but still, that is a dependency. Suppose you depend on somebody for some churning, but still that is a dependency. We want to remain independent as possible. And in that stage, you receive Baba's help. You can take cooperation from others, that's fine. But to get emotionally attached to somebody, that's not spiritual engineering. Spiritual engineering at the level of emotions, again, means detachment. The more detached we are spiritually from the other souls, more powerful we become. Second, memories. What memories we should have? Bring back those memories of spiritual childhood. Bring back those memories of meeting Baba. Bring back those memories of Madhuban. Bring back those memories of your first experience, this Brahmin family. Those divine experiences, rather than languishing in negative memories. Bring back all those divine memories of this Brahmin life, or rather bring back those memories of golden age. These are the best memories of our lives. So spiritual engineering means to linger on these memories for a long time, to stay, to bring back, to revive those memories. Next, spiritual engineering at the level of imagination. Visualization. What I am visualizing, what I am seeing, what I am... You know, the greatest addiction in this today's world, in youth, is sensual fantasies. A person sits and imagines. Just imagination. Uncontrolled, unbridled imagination. And then he starts doing that. All sensuality arises from that imagination. So making our imagination pure, divine, using it for Sakash service, using it for emerging soul, using it for seeing our own perfect form, all those things with imagination. And last, but not the least, dream. So we started our journey from thought, then we came to second, speech, third, action, fourth, relationship, next, behavior, next, intellect, next, body, sanskar, wealth, next, drishti, vritti, drishtikon, habits, next, writing, drinking, eating, listening, touching, and last four, imagination, memories, and dreams, and feelings. In the dream, at the end, when everything, all 20 are okay, dreams will automatically become okay. You don't have to do anything with dreams. There are again five types of dreams. We are not going to discuss them here. So, let's do a 5 minutes, 2 minutes meditation, and we will end this session. This will be on imagination or visualization or memories. I, the soul, I see in front of my eyes the divine picture of my life. I see a huge screen in front of me. I see how Baba picked me up from this world. I see how Baba made me his own. down the memory lane. I visualize my spiritual childhood. What days were they? What joy! What beauty! I see my first meeting with Bab Dada. I see that huge divine family. This Brahmin family. I see Madhavan and the love I got from this place. I am thankful to everyone. I see my center, all the instrument souls who are giving me sustenance. All these pictures are flashing in front of me, filling me with a deep sense of gratitude. A life of achievement. Imperishable treasure. All attainments. My heart is full. And I thank Baba. I thank all Dadis. I thank Madhavan. I thank Madhavan Nivasis. I thank everyone whom I met. I am thankful for this blessedness of life. This divine life. Om Shanti.